I feel like we've already had church, so let's just have church again then. Amen. I was told this morning by one of our family that they have a terminal diagnosis on their cancer, and they gave a 6 month prediction. And then this individual said, "Well, listen, I believe the Lord told me that I was going to get to see the rapture." And he said, "If that's the case, and if God's word's true and God's true to me, then you need to make sure you've got all your ducks in a row and everything lined out in your life, because within 6 months, we're out of here." Amen. I think that's good. I think that's a great attitude. Amen. I'm praying and I'm believing that God is going to bring healing into people's lives. Amen. I believe for that. I believe when we go to heaven, we can be just as healthy as we are today. Amen. I mean, you don't got to be sick and die of some ugly, nasty disease to go to heaven. You know, if he wants you, just take us. Amen. I'm believing for that. Well, interesting turn of events this morning with the way things transpired. My message title this morning is Power from On High. Power from On High. I want to take a look this morning. How many of you just want to live blessed? I want my life to be blessed by God. Amen? Amen. I mean, I've done all I can to try and bless my life and bless my family. I've tried to provide well for my family. I've tried to be faithful to the Lord in tithes and in offerings and in my service toward the ministry and toward the kingdom. But I'm still just not satisfied that I've got all the blessings that God has for me. Amen. And so I want to look at what it's like to live the blessed life. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, if you can, turn with me to Luke chapter 24 and go to verse 50. And when you're there, just stand up. Because I want to honor the Lord as we read His word this morning. Amen. Luke chapter 24 and verse 50. Luke 24:50. Matthew, Mark, Luke, in the Gospels, Luke 24:50. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Luke 24:50 says this, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." Now, Father, I pray this morning, God, I need your touch. I need your anointing on my life this morning as I present what I believe with all of my heart, Lord, you gave me, Lord, for this congregation today. Lord, that we would live blessed and above, the head and not the tail. And so, God, I pray today that your anointing would be on me. I pray, though, Lord, that I would decrease and that you would increase in me, oh God. I pray for every preacher in this city right now that's preaching your word, God, that your anointing would just engulf them. And Lord, that they would begin to speak like they maybe have never spoken before. And I pray at the end of their message and the end of their service that, God, they would give an altar call and give people an opportunity to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. And for that, God, I give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. Give somebody a high five on your way down. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You okay, Ron? You okay, buddy? All right. Good enough. So Jesus took his followers out of Jerusalem as far as Bethany, a village that was really only a couple miles away from the slopes of the Mount of Olives. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed his followers. I mean, just close your eyes and picture this morning just for a moment, just the Lord just raising his hands and blessing your life. I want the blessings of God over your life in the worst way. And as your pastor, can I just tell you this morning that the blessings of God on our lives and the lives of his followers, it's essential. We have got to have the blessings of God in our life. Amen. Listen, well, how are you doing today? Well, you know, under the circumstances, I'm not doing too bad. Well, the Bible would ask you this question, so I'm going to ask you this question. What in the world are you doing under the circumstance? Because the Bible calls us to rise above those things. We're above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. Listen, I've milked enough cows that I know that what is going on the tail end is not pretty. Hey, come on, preach on, brother. I mean, and when you've been hunkered down like this and doing this number on the old man, and she just goes, pow, and whaps you upside the head with that guacamole tail. Come on. I mean, it doesn't take you very long to figure out which is the better end to be on. Amen. I'm just trying to illustrate for you this morning so you understand what I'm trying to communicate. Listen, God never called his people to be under the circumstance. We're to be above. Why? Because that's where Jesus is. He's above. He's seated at the right hand of God. And this morning, he's making intercession on your behalf and on mine. Listen, I don't care what the doctor said. I'm not trying to change their diagnoses. I'm just saying that God said, by his stripes, you are healed. And I want the blessings of God to follow your life. And with reference to the blessings of God, Scripture reveals several things that I want to look at very closely for a few moments this morning. The fourfold blessing, or the word rather, blessing, has a fourfold meaning. The word blessing has a fourfold meaning. Number one, it is a divine gift causing our work to succeed. How many of you think that's a great idea? How many of you think it's just a great idea, it's a great plan to have the blessings of God following hard after your life so that all the things that you do are successful? Everything you do, Gary, your cows just get fat off almost no grass. Why? Because the blessings of God are on your life. Tommy, your houses are coming together that you're building. Why? Because the blessings of God are on your life. It's the blessings of God. It's a divine gift that causes our work to succeed. Amen? Let me prove it to you. Deuteronomy 28 and 12. The Lord will open to you his good treasure. How many of you like it already? The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain on your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. Everything you put your hand to, God said he wants to bless that. Amen? Amen. Listen, I'm not sure fasting is a good idea for me. I honestly feel like I'm closer to the Lord than I've ever been in my life. I'm just a few days short of having 40 days of fasting. I've never done that ever before, but it ain't going to be the last time. Because I want nothing more, church, than to be in tune with what God has. And I'm not bragging about anything that I've done. I'm just saying, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you want to do something different, then put the fork down. We preach about pornography, and we preach about adultery, I'm going to get in trouble, and I know I am. But I can't. We don't preach too much about gluttony. And I can say that because I'm a glutton. My wife tells me, you know what your problem is? You eat, you live to eat instead of eating to live. And you know what? I don't like it, but it's the truth. We talked last night. She made a bowl of a pan of beans, put a bunch of spices and stuff in it. It was awesome. Didn't have no meat in it. I'm a meat eater. I got canine teeth. I like to chew up meat. I'm going to. But we don't need all of it, church, is what I'm trying to say. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and church, we need to take care of the house. I want God's presence in my life. Number one, the blessings is a divine gift that causes our work to succeed. Number two, the blessing is God's presence with us. How many of you know when God's with you, you ain't got to be scared of nothing or nobody? When God is with you, you got to be scared of nobody and no thing. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 3 says, "Dwell in this land and I will be with you. For to you and your descendants, I will give all of these lands and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father." Do you know that he told them, listen, wherever the sole of your foot treads, I'm going to give you that land. Listen, we need to just go stomping around Myrtle Creek. And we need to go stomping around Myrtle Creek, and we need to begin to proclaim the promises of God. Lord, I'm stomping right here. I'm believing. I'm claiming this ground for your glory and for your honor. You guys might need to go stomping around down in Glendale. Amen. And just claim that place for the glory of God. God's presence is with us. Number three, God gives us strength and power and help. That's the blessings of God. How many of you could use some strength? How many of you could use some power? I mean, how many of you could just use some help? It's all wrapped up in the blessings of God. He wants to bless His people. Ephesians 3 and 16 says that He would grant you according to the rich. How many of you know God is not hurting for money? God ain't hurting for things with which to bless you with. Listen to what this says. And that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. He's not worrying about the light bill. You know why? Because His Son's the light. I'm just saying that He would grant to you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That's on the inside of you. Listen, you can go down here at the gymnasium and you can pump iron. You can get on the treadmill and you can just run and run and run and run and just do push-ups and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't have inner strength, if you're not taking care of what's in here, if you're not building up your faith, listen, faith is just like a muscle. And if you don't exercise your faith, that faith muscle is going to begin to atrophy. That means it's going to get weak and weak. That's why I don't have a problem praying for people that have cancer to be healed in the name of Jesus. Why? Because I'm building my faith, because one of these days they're going to come back and say, "Hey, let me tell you what the doctor said. Doctor said they can't find a daggum thing wrong with me, and it's because God has healed me." And that's going to build our faith, church. When that building goes up out in that parking lot, it's going to begin to build the faith of some people that have said, "That ain't never going to happen. I don't care who says that. I know what God done said to me, and that's going to happen." Why? By faith, I just believe it. Number one is the blessings of God is a divine gift causing our work to succeed. Number two, it's God's presence with us. Number three, it's God giving us strength, power, and help. And number four, it's God working in and through us to produce good. To produce good. How many of you want to produce some good with your life? How many of you want to see some things happen because you were there? Because you purposed to do something for the glory of God. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do you realize the things that you do, church, bring pleasure to God? When He sees us serving Him, doing things for His kingdom, when we're praying for the sick, when we're praying for the well, how many of you know we need to pray for well people? Amen. We can't just focus on the sick all the time. They need the prayer. Absolutely they do. But you need the practice. So just find some well people and just pray for them. Amen. You want to hear something really cool? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. It's easy. Listen to what this says. How many of you know when the Bible says, it shall come to pass? It shall come to pass. When God says in His Word, now it shall come to pass. It's going to come to pass. How many of you know, though, that sometimes there are conditions to it coming to pass? How many of you have ever memorized the word if? If is a little tiny word. But that little tiny word carries with it significance beyond measure. Because let me just bring this to you. Now it shall come to pass, and then it has a comma. Jeannie, put it up. Go ahead. Pop it right up there. See that comma at the end of pass? That means whoa. I'm not an English teacher, but I know enough to know that that's what that means. That means slow up just a minute. We're not going to completely stop, but I want you to just slow down for a minute because I've got something important that you need to hear. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. There's a condition in this word, if you want things to come to pass, then you must diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. And some would say, well, Pastor, I've never heard the voice of the Lord. Well, let me just break it down for you. If you've ever read God's word, you've heard the voice of the Lord, because you don't need an audible voice from God to know when God's speaking to you. He wrote it down through the prophets and through men of old and the apostles and the disciples. He wrote it down so that you could hear the voice of the Lord. It shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Church, there's condition on our part. We've got to obey His voice. Not just the fun stuff. Not just the fun stuff. Not just the things. How many of you have ever not really been too crazy about what God said to do? You still have to do it. My dad, when I would get sick, my dad had, I don't know where he got them. I'm not sure he wasn't trying to kill me. But he would take and mix up these concoctions. He'd take Vicks Vapor Rub. Anybody ever have to eat that stuff? I've ate gallons of it in my lifetime. Vicks Vapor Rub and some turpentine. Mix that all together and put a little methylate, mercurochrome, that good red stuff that burns like fire. Mix that stuff all up. And back in the old days, they had these little things called an atomizer. And an atomizer had a glass bowl on the bottom and a squirty thing on the outside of it. And he'd put that concoction in there if you had a sore throat, and he'd say, open up. And you go, uh-uh. Ain't happening. Man, he'd pry your mouth open and he'd paint the back of your throat with that stuff. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now you're just starting to understand why I'm like I am. Church, we might not want it. I didn't ever want that. But it helped me. It helped me. He'd take wool socks. I'm allergic to wool. Dad, I'm allergic to wool. I don't care. It ain't going to kill you. Take a wool sock. I mean the kind that you just, oh. Cut that dude lengthwise. Boil up some more Vicks and lard and turpentine in a 3-pound coffee can, Folgers, by the way, if you're wondering. And he would dip that sock in that concoction, and then he would put newspapers over the table, and you had to sit underneath the kitchen table. I loved the table, but I was always under it. And you'd had to breathe all that mess for about a half an hour. And then you'd come out. I didn't want no part of any of this, but I wasn't in control. And he'd take that thing out of that Vicks and turpentine and lard, and he would slap that puppy on my chest and safety pin it around the back of my neck. Lights are starting to come on out here, aren't they? To loosen up the mess in my lungs, because I had bad lungs. And you would begin to cough that stuff out. Listen, I wasn't signing up for that. Sometimes God asks us to do some things that we don't want to sign up for. But I'm here today probably because of some of the stuff that my dad put me through. Amen? I mean, because if that ain't going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you something, church. If you went and started in Genesis and went all the way through Revelations, just counting the word if, you know how many you'd find? Probably depending on the translation. But there are over 1,595 ifs in Scripture. 1,595 ifs in Scripture, most of which express the conditions for which God will bless or curse men. Well, God doesn't curse people. Well, just hang on. Not one unconditional covenant. There's not one unconditional covenant. There's not one unconditional promise or blessing found throughout the entirety of the Scripture. All of them come with a condition. Examples of cursing for disobedience and blessings for obedience are plainly stated in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus and in Isaiah and in other places, proving beyond a doubt that God will not bless men who transgress His word. It's against His word. He cannot bless that. Well, I'm special. And you ain't that special. If it ain't lining up with His word, church, I promise you, He's not blessing it. Because He cannot do that. If you go back to Genesis 1:28, you'll find that the very first thing that God did in relation to human beings was to bless them. He blessed Adam and Eve. He blessed them. The life and history of the people of God are under the operation of blessings and cursing. You got to choose today. Do you want to live under the blessings of God, or do you want to live a life cursed? I'm in that camp. I want the blessings of God, just like Deuteronomy 28 says. I want the blessings of God to overtake me and to come upon me. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28, it says, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods, which you have not known." Listen, the world out there is saying, listen, that's Old Testament. We don't have to abide by the Old Testament. Listen, it's the canon of Scripture. It's God's Word. There's no place I've ever read, and I've read through it time after time after time, and nowhere have I ever heard that God said, well, we don't pay any attention to the Old Testament anymore. That was for them, and we're under, It doesn't say that. There's history there. There's lessons for you and I to learn. And the upshot of the whole matter was that the nation had to make a choice whether to obey God and enjoy His blessings or disobey Him and experience His chastening. You and I have to make the same choice. The future victories depend on their present decision. Kathy sang, I don't know how many songs about the victories, oh, victory in Jesus, and I'm going to see a victory, or whatever the other song was. And this is running through my mind because I want us to be victorious, church. I want everything about your life that lines up with God. I want your lives to be victorious. And we can be victorious if we'll but follow after what God wants. Their future victory depends on our present decision, the determination in our heart to love the Lord and obey His word. Soon we're going to be on a battlefield. Not only the help of the Lord can give them the victory over the enemy. It's the only thing. The blessings of God. The offer is simple. If you obey the Lord, He'll bless you. If you don't obey the Lord, you're going to get chastened. It's that simple. My dad never ever come home from work and just said, you know what, I think I'm just going to beat the tar out of you tonight. He probably could have and had a reason for it, but he never did do that. Why? Because I only got spankings for what I deserved. So what is God's curse? For us to understand that, we have to remember that the conditions of the covenant, between God and Israel, both parties had agreed to them. When you came to this altar, or whatever altar you went to, and surrendered your life to Jesus, you made something of a declaration that day that you were going to follow the Lord the rest of your life. That you were going to follow hard after God. That you were going to be obedient to His Holy Spirit and to what He says to do. That's what I'm talking about right here. You agreed to the terms. The blessings would benefit Israel if they kept their part of the covenant. They would receive the land. They would live there forever. They would have fruitful crops. They would expel their enemies. The curse would fall on Israel only if they broke their agreement. And then they would forfeit God's blessing and would be in danger of not only crop failure, but invasion and being expulsed from the land. Listen, I want to be prosperous and fruitful in this land that God has put us in, church. Maybe we do only have 6 months before the Lord comes and takes us. I'm just using that because that's what we talked about earlier. But let me ask you this. Do you know somebody that needs Jesus? If we thought that we really only had 6 months until the Lord was coming back, wouldn't we go out of our way to try and reach them with the gospel? Because we know the end's coming. Listen, it could come today. It could come today. It could come tomorrow. Are you ready? Is your neighbor ready? They have to agree to the terms. It's amazing that God set before Israel and the Israelites a choice between blessings and curses. And it's even more amazing that most of them, through their disobedience, chose the curses. I find that stunning. We have the same fundamental choice today. We can either live for ourselves and for our own passions, or we can live in service to God. Joshua again said in chapter 24, choose you today whom you're going to serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. To choose our own way is to travel on a dead-end road, but to choose God's way is to receive eternal life. I choose life. In the New Testament, the whole work of Christ can be summed up by the statement that God has sent Him to bless you and I. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, to you first, God, having raised up His servant Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. What Christ finished on the cross of Calvary was what was necessary to turn us away from our iniquities. To remove us from the sin, remove the sin from us, rather. The message of salvation came first to the people of Israel, to the descendants of Abraham and Moses and Samuel and the prophets. Of all people, they should have known the prophecies and recognized Him when He came. But they missed it because He didn't fit their box. How many of us have a box that we want Jesus to fit in? Listen, He ain't getting in your box. How many of you realize oftentimes we want God to revolve around us, and that ain't the way it works. We revolve around Him. We are the prime benefactors of the blessings of the covenant. We are the prime benefactors. That means we get the blessings. It's important to notice that the primary nature of the blessing was to turn them back from their sinful ways. And it's the same today. Christ's work at its core is to turn lives around. The very word repent, if you study that word out, you'll find that the word repent literally means that if you're going this way, you turn 180 degrees and now you're going this way. That's the literal definition of the word repent. He's looking to turn lives around, taking individuals on sinful paths and turning them from those paths to the path of blessing and righteousness. Israel had every reason to turn to Jesus. They had history. They had heritage. They had the bloodline. They had centuries of warning from prophetic messages. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, again, Peter concluded his message with the statement that God wants to turn people away from their sin and to bless them. It's exactly the opposite of what many believe. They consider God is the ultimate party pooper. He don't want anybody to have a good time. Listen, I've had way more fun being saved and being a Christian than I ever had being a drunk on drugs. I promise you. It's way more fun to wake up knowing what I did last night. Consider that God is a party pooper, some kind of cosmic killjoy that wants to turn people from sin in order to make you miserable. Well, I don't want to go to your church. You got too many rules. We don't have any rules around here except serve the Lord. Follow hard after Jesus. That's the rule. Give your life to Him. Let Him guide your paths. If we embrace the truth that God is good, then we acknowledge that God prohibits certain things in order to bless our lives infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or hope. Listen, the things that I gave up in the world, they were just killing me anyway. You can't find, and I've tried, and maybe some of you have, but you can't find the answers in the bottom of a bottle. You might be able to numb your pain for a night, but it's going to be right there the next morning. You can't smoke enough dope to take the pain out of your heart. I know. I've tried it. It doesn't work. The only thing that was ever effective in my life was the day I stood and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I confess my sin to you. Would you come in and cleanse me? That's the only time that I ever was relieved of the pain. In the act of blessing his followers, right as he's blessing them, Jesus left them and was taken up into heaven. His physical presence left the disciples, but his Holy Spirit came to comfort them and to empower them to spread the gospel of salvation. That is our commission, church. To take this gospel. Gospel means good news. It is good news. When you're going straight to hell and you get the good news that you don't have to go to hell, you can go to a place called heaven. Church, that's some good news right there. That's some good news. Today, the work of salvation that Jesus was working is completed. And he's seated at the right hand of God, and where he has authority over heaven and earth. And the sight of Jesus returning in glory in heaven called for a response of worship from those that watched. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Can I just, get ahead of the ball just a little bit and ask, are you going to leave here today having been in the presence of God filled with joy? Or are you going to go out going, oh man, I don't even know why I came to church today. They returned with great joy. There was no more sorrow, no more bewilderment, no more wonder about what was going on with Jesus. They saw, and instead they understood, and they were filled with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I believe God's bringing. If you've ever asked to pick a word or a group of words from the following words that I'm about to share with you that would describe the worship service in this church, these are the words that you get to pick from. Is it solemn? Is it quiet? Is it reverent? Is it somber? Or is it joyful? And is it warm? And is it uplifting? And is it celebrative? I'm going with the last four. But I could also throw in that it's reverent, because we reverence the Lord in this place. But it's not solemn for sure. It's not quiet. Some of you, we can't get you to calm down. And I think it's awesome. It's joyful. There's joy in the house. We have a reason to be filled with joy. Biblical worship doesn't have to be an either or proposition. It can include them both. Both can be dignified. Both can be uplifting. But if there isn't an overriding element of joy, church, I wonder if it's really true worship and if it isn't worthy of the risen Lord. Dignified doesn't have to mean staunchy. And celebration doesn't have to be synonymous with superficial. We've never asked anybody to do something that's superficial. But listen, if you're worshiping the Lord and all of a sudden, I mean, I'm not so old that I can't remember that sometimes people would just get overwhelmed and they just take off. Round and round. It's called a Jericho march. I've seen it. I've participated. I've seen people just come to the altar and just get. My pastor used to say it's getting under the spout where the glory comes out. Church, we haven't said it for a while, but maybe it needs to be said again. If you ever feel like coming to this altar right smack in the middle of worship, get up out of your chair, come to this altar and begin to just work. You might find other people come with you. There's nothing wrong with it. It's worshiping God. We can have both. Both aspects of worship present at the same time. Let me close with Luke chapter 24, verse 52 and 53. It says, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Every day. Have you ever wanted to just come to church in the middle of the day and just worship the Lord? Well, the church was closed. Well, maybe we need to do something about that. But let me tell you, in heaven today, our Lord ministers as our high priest and our advocate. As high priest, he gives us the grace we need to face the testing and temptations that we endure. And if we fail, as our advocate, he forgives and he restores us when we confess our sins. So as the glorified head of the church, then Jesus Christ is equipping his people to live for him, to serve him right now in this present world. He doesn't want us just coming to church just because it's church time. He wants you to come to church so that you can hear something and take it out and share it with somebody else. Through the Word of God and through prayer, he's ministering to us by his Spirit and making us more like himself every day. He's working on you. The last thing the Lord did was to bless his people, and the first thing that they did was worship him. The two always go together, for as we truly worship him, he will share his blessings with us. He not only opened their lips to witness, but he also opened their lips to worship and to praise him. Church, we were created to worship our Father. The sight of Jesus going into glory in heaven called for a response of worship from those who watched. And when they returned to Jerusalem filled with joy, they couldn't contain themselves. Yet they didn't separate themselves from their Jewish roots. They spent all of their time in the temple praising God and worshiping him. There's no more closed and locked doors for these followers. Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem, and so they did. Luke's gospel portrays as the perfect example of a life lived according to God's plan. To know how to live a perfect life, look to Jesus as your perfect example. I close with this. Jesus' life in the physical ended at the cross. But our life in the spiritual began at the cross. Church, if you haven't been to the cross, if you haven't got your life started at the cross, I'm going to ask you this morning to strongly consider coming to the cross and surrendering your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You'll never regret it. Not ever. So this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, saints of God, pray Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I want the blessings of God in my life. I just don't know exactly how to get them. I don't know what to do. But I would like to surrender my life to Jesus. I've never done that before, but I would like to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. If you're here today and that's your prayer, Pastor, I'd like to surrender my life to Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, if you'll just slip your hand up, I'll pray with you. And we'll take care of the sin issue today. Anybody at all, say, Preacher, that's me. Maybe this morning you're here and at some point in your life, you surrendered your life to Jesus, but the world got in the way. Something happened in your life, and you turned from the Lord. And this morning, you realize you're a long way from the safety of the harbor. And you're just looking for a way back into a right relationship with Jesus. This morning, if that's you, you want to rededicate, recommit your life to Jesus Christ, because we never know when He's coming. But if you're here today and you say, Preacher, I want to rededicate, recommit my life to Jesus. If you just slip your hand up this morning, I'll pray with you. I believe God is here to bring the blessings of God into your life. And I believe God wants to start at the altar. I see your hand, ma'am. You can put it down. Somebody else, Preacher, that's me. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Well, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to get up all your faith and get up and come to the front of this church. I want to pray with you right now. Come on. If you raised your hand, I want you to come right now.